our attention. We want to give him all the time that he needs. Praise God. We don't have to beat the other churches to the restaurant. They'll still have a lot left over for us. And besides that, the tables will be empty and we can just go right in. Praise God. So preach on, brother. Praise God. We love Brother Brasida. We're praying for Sister Brasida. We're just believing God for good things. Amen. And I'm thankful that we can know the power of the Lord to do everything that we need. And God's power and blessing would come. God bless you, Brother Brasida. We love you.
Thank you, Brother Glover. Amen. Let's give that praise to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Isn't he worthy? Isn't he great? He's greatly to be praised this morning. God, we love you. We thank you and we appreciate you this morning. I am so thankful. You can be seated. God bless you. I'm so thankful to be here, and I want to honor all of the ministers and our bishop and Brother Glover, such a great family, and they were a blessing to our church, and I believe when you left something with us, and I know that you came to be ministered to, but I believe that you ministered to us as a church, and I feel something very, very strong in my spirit today. And, you know, I know I'm the only thing standing between you and lunch. But if it'll help you out any, my wife, I brought my wife with me. Brought my wife with me. And she sent enough snacks with me and a couple other suitcases that if I go too long, we're not going to starve to death. I'm going to have to give them away before I go. Amen. But thank you for allowing me to be here with you today. And I'm just so humbled that you would ask me to come and be with you. And so let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. And I'm so glad to be amongst survivors. You know, everybody wants to come to Alaska when it's hunting season and fishing season, but you're a different breed of people. And I mean that in a respectful way, because anybody that can come up here and start churches and in these villages and on these islands, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. And, you know, a lot of people think, well, are they having a revival up there? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we came here to be a help and we're leaving with knowledge. I'm more blessed. I'm more blessed going home than I was coming. Amen. So, amen. Genesis 37 and 1. Genesis 37 and 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. And now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all of his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. But verse 5 says, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren. And the Bible says, and they hated him yet the more. They hated him yet the more because he was a dreamer, because he was a visionary, because he could see change before anybody else could see it. But yet they hated him. And so I want to talk to us this morning. I guess we could just call it the price of being a dreamer, or we could call it surviving the hidden part of the dream. Let's go to the Lord one more time and let's ask God to touch us. Father, we love you. We thank you, God. We're asking right now, God, that your will would begin to move in this service. I know, God, that you want to heal. I know that you want to deliver. I feel, God, that you want to wake up some dreams that are sitting in this congregation. I ask right now, we bind the enemy. We bind his tactics this morning. We bind every distraction that would be in this building. And we pray a hedge right now to keep the enemy out. We bind every stronghold. We take dominion and power and authority over the enemy. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would help us. God, that you would help us to secure the dream. In the name of the Lord, let's praise him one more time. In the name of the Lord Jesus, God, we praise you, we love you, and we exalt you this morning. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. A dreamer, the word dreamer has many descriptions. And number one, obviously, it is a person who dreams. Secondly, it could be a visionary. Thirdly, a person who lives in a world of fantasy, one who is impractical and unrealistic. And the fourth one is a person whose ideals or projects are considered audacious or highly speculative. But from a dreamer's standpoint, the world through his eyes is such a wonderful place. A dreamer does not see things as they are, but as they are meant to be. To the dreamer, even the impossible things are easy to see. To the dreamer, nothing is impossible and nothing isn't true. And dreams are just things that have yet to happen. And so without dreamers, our world has no hope. Without dreamers, our church is in trouble. Amen. Because God has frequently made use of dreams in communicating his will to men throughout the ages. And so the word dream in its singular version occurs the most times in the book of Genesis. Approximately 33 times, followed by the book of Daniel 27 times. And it is also mentioned 8 times in the New Testament. Now, Daniel and Joseph were dreamers who could correctly interpret. There were other dreamers. Even Pharaoh was a dreamer. King Solomon was a dreamer. King Nebuchadnezzar was a dreamer. And the teaching this morning, which was so awesome, amen, Mary and Joseph had a dream in the New Testament. The wise men who came to visit Jesus, they also had a dream. And also Pilate's wife not really had a dream. I call that a nightmare. Amen. And so throughout the Bible, there were many dreamers. Now, dreams in ancient times were much attended to, and so it was with Joseph's dream. Now, Genesis 37 and 5, the Bible says, and Joseph dreamed a dream. And as you read the dream, it is recorded in 37 and 7. It was a dream concerning God's favor and advancement in Joseph's life. And as you will note, and I don't have time to get into the history and the chronological part of this, but according to history and according, you know, I don't count that good. I know how to count money and I know how to read a tape measure. Amen. But according to history and according to what I've read, it was somewhere between 13 and 22 years later that the dream was fulfilled, and it actually came to pass in Genesis 42 and 6. So he went from binding sheaves in the field to becoming a prime minister, amen, a governor in Pharaoh's palace. Now, I wish I could tell you in this building today, there are many visionaries in this building today, and there are many dreamers in this building this morning, and you already know that just because you are a dreamer, amen, you would think that things would be okay. And I wish I could tell you that the life of this dreamer was a life without trial and tribulation, but from the time that God gave him the dream until its fulfillment, Joseph had to endure many things. And now, you know, his brothers hated him because of his visionary status. His brother hated him because he was a dreamer. They compared him against, they conspired against him, and he was cast into a pit, left for dead. And they said, they sold him into slavery. The dreamer Joseph was lied on by Potiphar's wife, and from there he was cast in prison. And even though that he was lied upon, and even though that all the negative things begin to happen to him, the end of the story is the best part. Amen. I'm thankful this morning that Joseph survived the hidden part of the dream. I'm glad, you know, if Joseph would have known what he would have had to go through, if Joseph would have known that he would be in prison, that he would be sold out by his family, I want to tell you today, amen, I believe that God is about to resurrect some dreamers in this place. Amen. Had not Joseph survived the hidden part of the dream, we may not have read about him in the Bible, but I'm glad that he did not settle for status quo. He did not, when the enemy came in, he did not say, well, I don't guess my dream and my vision is going to prevail. And I'm going to tell you, the God that he served, the God that he lived for, the God that he walked for, amen, he has a way of making a way where there seemeth to be no way. And this morning, I'm thankful for dreamers in the kingdom of God. I'm thankful for men and women that will come and do the will of God. Come on, let's praise him right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for dreamers in the kingdom. I'm thankful for dreamers in the local church. Without the local church, the kingdom would be nothing. Without local saints of God, the kingdom would be nothing. I know God has his prophets. I know God has his teachers. And I'm here to tell you, amen, without you, the kingdom would not be anything. I believe that I'm in the presence of some dreamers. I believe that I'm in the presence of some visionaries. I believe that if you'll just hold on, amen, God is will begin to fulfill the dreams that you have. I'm telling you, I believe in the Holy Ghost that today, in just a few minutes, that God is going to work and that God is going to minister. Come on, God is looking for dreamers who will hold on to their faith and stay faithful until the end. Hallelujah! Because kingdom dreamers, we don't see through the eyes of this world, but we see through the eyes of faith. We don't see things as they are, but as God has meant for them to be. And to a kingdom dreamer, impossible things are easy to be had. They're easy to be seen. I know what Jesus said. He said, with men, amen, there are a lot of things that are impossible. But he also said, with God, all things are possible to them that believe. What was he saying? I believe he was saying there's going to be some dreamers in the local church. There's going to be visionaries in the local church. There's going to be dreamers and visionaries. Amen. In a district. And I'm going to tell you today, I believe there's miracles in this building. I'm going to veer. I've got to obey God. My son, when we were fishing, my son-in-law, assistant pastor, he went on a tour. And while we were ripping lips, he was taking pics. Hey. I mean, it's all right. You show me the pictures and we'll eat flounder. You know, that's good. That's good enough. If it's good enough for Joseph, good enough for me. But he showed me a picture And in that picture was the shore. I guess it was Resurrection Bay that you were in. And on the edge of the ocean, there were a bunch of dead trees. And according to the tour guide, these trees were dead because of the salt water, but they were still standing. And I think they called them ghost trees. But what amazed me was you had a lake, a river of life. You had ghost trees, but behind it were the greenest trees that you've ever seen. They were alive and well. And then he just dropped a bomb on them and he said, that's why they call it Resurrection Bay. And I thought, my God, there's a message in that. Hallelujah. You may be here this morning and maybe you've lost your dream and maybe you cannot see clearly because the enemy has clouded your mind. You may feel like that dead tree, and I believe this morning that God is about to resurrect some dead trees because we serve the resurrection and the life. Come on, if you feel dead in here, the one who can raise you up is in this house. Come on, lift your hands right now. Come on, if you feel like your dream has died, if you feel like it's just that stick in the mud, I'm telling you, before we leave this building, I believe that God is going to raise up some dreams. God is going to resurrect your dreams. God is going to resurrect some desires that you had in your life. I believe it with all of my heart. Hallelujah! There's going to be some things that seem impossible in your life that God is going to make it happen. God, and then you're going to stand back and you're going to say, look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Hallelujah! Come on, somebody's got to survive the hidden part of the dream. It's not always about what you're going through. Hallelujah, but if he brought you to it, he'll bring you through it today. Because the kingdom dreamer has a spirit that says, nothing is impossible with my God. The kingdom dreamer says dreams are just things that have yet to happen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence of things not seen. Without kingdom dreamers, the church has no hope for growth and expansion. Your dream this morning, I truly believe, and I'm not a real spiritual guy, but I truly believe. I really. I got one in my corner. I forgot to check myself. You know, my wife's not here, so if I got anything on my face, just tell me, please. But your dream may involve being a soul winner. Your dream may be that you desire to be a church planner. Maybe you're here this morning and you're tired of living the way that you're living. And in your heart, you're saying, I just need a new way of life. Maybe you just need a spiritual boost. Maybe you just need a spiritual turnaround. I don't know what kind of dreams that we're dealing with, but I honestly believe that there were some young men and some elders that were called in this conference. I looked around, and I mean, you could see God just moving and touching people, and it was nothing to do with us. I mean, when we showed up and began to worship and these men and these panel discussions and all that, amen, God just began to honor that. But whatever your dreams may be, in your flesh, you need to try to keep that dream alive. I know there's a lot of stuff that goes on, a lot of struggles and a lot of stuff that goes on in this old man. And you know, the enemy has a tendency to talk you down. The enemy has a tendency to tell you what you can't do and what you're not going to be able to do. And he'll remind you of your past failures, and he'll remind you of all the bad times and all the bad things and all the horrible experiences that you had. Amen. But that's when you need to remember you've got the Holy Ghost. You've got the Spirit of God living and abiding in you. And when the old man comes a knocking, you know who you need to send to the door? The new man. Amen. Because when you open that door, he's going to begin to tell you what you can't do and why it's not going to happen. But if you'll come to the door by faith, if you'll answer that door with a boldness and say, look here, devil, it ain't going to happen. You get out of my face. Not today, devil. Not today, devil. Because I've got a dream and God gave me a vision. And if you've come to destroy it, amen, look, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Hey, we need to quit getting beat up by the devil, and you need to take your dominion. You need to take your rightful place in the kingdom of God and tell him where to go. Somebody this morning needs to light him up. Somebody needs to just give him a good throat punch. Somebody needs to throw him in a Chinese knot and say, not today. Amen. Come on. Come on. Let's stand right here. Let's stand and proclaim our dominion. Let's stand and proclaim our visions right now. My God, my God, I'm going to start a church. I'm going to resurrect a church. I'm going to be a soul winner. I'm going to be a prayer warrior. I'm going to be an apostolic preacher. I'm going to be a Bible teacher. I'm going to be, God, anything that you call me to be. Hallelujah. Come on. You got to keep the fires burning. You got to keep the dream alive. You got to keep going when it's hard to go. Because it's not always easy being a dreamer. You can be seated. It's not always easy being a dreamer or a visionary. But I'm going to tell you, it's the right thing to do. Quit listening to the enemy. Quit listening to the enemy. You got to understand, the devil will climb up a stack of Bibles to lie to Jesus. I mean, he's a liar and the father of every lie that's ever been told. Amen. So when negative thoughts start coming in, it's just him trying to build a stronghold. Amen. We have got to get to the place, amen, that we are positive. Amen. That we say, I don't know how it's going to happen, but God, you're the way maker. You can make it happen. I ain't got it figured out. Amen. And all God's saying is, if you'll step out, and if you'll step out and try to do my will, that's when I'm going to show up. Big dreams are not convenient. Now, obviously, if you're looking for a convenient ministry, and when my wife dreams, she's a dreamer. And when she dreams, Brother Glover, I get scared. I'm going to tell you, when my wife dreams, in 35 years of marriage, I've never seen her miss it with her dreams. And, you know, she's humble. She's my GP. She's my property. Would you edit that out? Just kidding. But big dreams are not very convenient. Big dreams will keep you up at night. Big dreams have big costs. And some of you are wanting to do some things, and you're doing the logistics of it, and you're trying to figure out 1 + 1 and 2 + 2, and in your mind you're looking at it saying, that's not going to add up. That's not going to work. Amen. And so what you do is you just lay your burden down and you lay your vision to the side and say, well, you know, we can't do it right now. Let me tell you something. This is a God program, and God is your broker. Amen. And a true vision is going to cost you, and you know it's God when you can't pay for it out of your back pocket. Come on. I'm speaking to somebody here. You're wanting to step out in ministry, but you're looking at your wallet, your billfold don't add up to what your vision is. I'm here to tell you, if you'll step out, God will supply the need. Now you're saying, well, you're just saying that, Pastor. Let me tell you something. I spent the last 3 years of my life building a church, and I'm going to tell you, as of now, it is debt free. I pastor on a reservation. I pastor. It's a very poor community. It's filled with meth. It's filled with dope. It's filled with a lot of things. But when God makes a way, and when God gives you a vision, He is going to fulfill that thing. Amen. We'd pour the slab, and we'd have just a few dollars left, and we'd start praying. And next thing you know, the money came in for the steel, and we kept praying, and the money came in for the lumber, and we kept praying. Electricians showed up. We kept praying. Amen. A team from Mexico, a team from Honduras, they threw that rock up and finished it like it was nothing, flat. And the whole time, money, man, just started flowing in. Now, I don't advise you doing anything like that if you hadn't talked to your pastor, you hadn't talked to your district superintendent and your presbyter. But I'm going to tell you, when God's in it, amen, that's all that matters. Amen. Because if God is in it, amen, your dream will be fulfilled. Amen. We just walked into our church, December 22nd, amen, into a paid-for building, $1.4 million, which wouldn't go very far in Alaska. And I'm telling you, God did it. God did it. God did it. He did it through normal people. I'm believing God that whatever this district needs, whatever this church needs, God is going to supply the need. Big dreams take big commitment. You'll never fulfill your dreams. You'll never become a visionary if you are not committed to the message of one God and Jesus' name baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost and living a holy and a godly life. But if you will commit yourself, if you'll give yourself wholly to the will of God, God will fulfill your dream. I forgot to tell you. Don't let me forget this part. But big dreams make the uncommitted uncomfortable. You just jerk my coattail, brother, if I get out of line. Because there have been times in my life that I shared my dream and my vision with even some of my brothers and even some of my family. And they looked at me with a deer in the a moose in the headlight look. Like, are you crazy? You can't do that in Atmore, Alabama. I'm like, well, I think I can. So I'm going to commit myself to that. You know, we started, and I told him, if you want to, you know, first of all, I was trying to count the cost. I said, if all 60 of us people will give $20 a week, you know, quit buying the Diet Cokes and the cheeseburgers and all that, if you'll just give $20 of that a week. And I figured that's such and such a month. And I'm like, man, the more I was doing the math, it's all the little things add up. And so I told them, I said, whether you give a dollar, there were some that give a dollar. There were some that give $5, some give $10. And there were some that was able to do $100 a month. And this thing just started happening. I mean, I've always counted myself to be kind of a dreamer and a visionary. I mean, when we got to that church with 18 people, very small group, and as kind of normal in some apostolic ranks, it was, and I'm not being disrespectful, but it was the old elderly saints, the ladies, the ones that were responsible for the prayer meetings, and the ones that were responsible for keeping the lights on and keeping, you know, selling peanut brittle and doing everything that they could while the men were at work. And I know that there's been a lot of churches that have been built on peanut brittle and probably smoked salmon and probably, you know, I don't know how it works up here, but I know that if you're going to have a building and if you're going to do anything for God, it all costs, it all takes money. People started getting committed like never before. People started coming to prayer meeting and praying, God, my pastor's got a vision. My pastor had a dream. And then I found everybody just praying. They bought in my, we just cast in vision every time we could get a chance, throwing it out there. And all of a sudden, the dream that seemed so impossible, the dream that seemed like it would never become a reality, amen, now we're standing in it and we're worshiping in it. And now people are coming from the reservation and people are coming from far and near. It's not what we did. It's not because it's a new building, but because when we had that old rundown building, Brother Blackwell, amen, I've jacked that old building. You never got to see the old building, amen, because we had tore it down. But, I mean, we worked. We jacked that thing up. We threw sheetrock up. Amen. It's a wonder that place didn't burn down. And they added something on. We just add 6 or 7 more receptacles. And then every time they're making peanut brittle, breakers blowing. And we said, we got to do something. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be naysayers in your circle of friendship. And that don't make them bad people. That don't make them horrible saints of God. Amen. They've just lost their way. They've just lost their vision. The enemy has come in and told them every reason why that the dream cannot be fulfilled. And I'm going to tell you, God, if he healed the blind, amen, he can heal our vision. If God, you know, sometimes it takes a couple of prayers. Jesus laid hands on a blind man and he said, what do you see? He said, well, I still don't see clearly. I see men as trees. Amen. And he prayed again and that man's vision was restored. I believe tonight, today, that God is about to resurrect some dreams. Hallelujah. I believe there's people that are going to get committed like never before. I believe that there is a commitment in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to be uncomfortable with my dream. I just want to get on board. I just want to see it fulfilled. If it's your dream, I love it. If it's your desire, I love it. If you want to go start a church, I'll help you raise money for it. But the main thing, you got to be able to see clearly. And God, I believe, is going to do that this morning.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
I'm asking you this morning, who would dare to dream with me this morning? I don't know much about this foreign land that we're in right now. I know that I live in a different country. But Brother Marcus from Nome or from Sitka Church, I said, Brother Marcus, where are you from? And he like throws a gang sign. I can't remember how it was, but he threw a gang sign. It was the sign of Alaska. And he's like, you're right here. He says, you're right here, brother. And this is where we're from. I mean, he just showed me the map. I'm like, that's pretty handy. Who needs an iPhone when you got Brother Marcus around? That brings a new dimension. It wasn't a palm reader. It was whatever the top of your hand is. We don't believe in the other, right?
No, that's right.
Anybody got a dream? Come on. I know I've been picking a little bit, but it's because I'm nervous. Got all these people here, but things happen where dreamers are. Ezra 13, there were two generations that came together. There was the old school, and there was the new school. And some would say that there was a controversy because they were rebuilding the temple. And you know how sometimes how we get. I'm be 62 here this month. And so I'm young, but I'm kind of the old school when it comes to the music and all. I'm still kind of old school. And there was a time in my life that I looked at the millennials and whatever you want to call them, and I'm thinking, man, I don't know if we're going to make it. Just being honest, okay? And some of you other elders, you know what I'm talking about. So Ezra 13, you had the elders. Then you had the younger ones. And as you read it, you would think that there was a controversy and a contention. And I'm sure there were some who didn't have faith in the next generation. But I'm going to tell you, God brought them together. In Ezra 3 and 8 through 13, amen, it all came together. And what we need to realize, when I go back home, I've only got 6 of the original elders that were in my church over 20 years ago. And I have tried my best to raise up a generation and a leadership team that would get behind the elders. This is not a race against the elders versus the young people. Amen. But what I told them, I said, hey, if you want to learn something, go see the elders. You want to learn something, go sit down and shuck peas and pick corn with the elders. You want to learn something, wait till their cannon may haul jelly, amen, and just begin to talk to them. And when they open their mouth, there's going to be a wisdom and a knowledge that comes from them. And I said, if you will listen to them, amen, they will worship with you, they will praise God with you. But if you expect them to worship with your loud music and all the beat, amen, you better be able to worship them when they're standing up in the hymnal singing, I'll fly away. Hallelujah. Come on. Amen. And that's what happened. There were generations that meshed together, and I believe that that's where we're at. The old school is going on to their reward, but God is looking for a younger generation that'll say, here I am. A younger generation that'll learn how to fly and learn how to plant churches and say, God, I got a dream. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. Hallelujah.
All right. Amen.
Come to the music, please. I'm done. I believe that this morning, that there's some of us that you showed up this morning and I feel like there's some people in here, and excuse my, as Brother Thunder would say, excuse my French, but I believe that there are people that are sitting in this building. You came to church this morning, you had a smile on your face. You combed your hair. We hope you brushed your teeth, or at least put them in, whatever. We all do that, right? Some of us do. You came in here smiling, but on the inside, the enemy has broke into your spiritual house. And he has become a thief and a robber. Not of your money, not of your time, but of your dreams. Is it okay if I just take my time? Let's just lift up the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, let's just lift up the name of the Lord Jesus. God, we love you. And we need you, God. I've gone as far as I can go, Lord, in my human self. I've preached the message that I wrote, God, that you gave me. But now, God, we need your help. We need the supernatural, God, to walk into this place. We're not here for a show. We're not here to say, look what you did, and look who got healed, and look who got filled. Amen. But this morning, amen, God, we're looking for you to come in and resurrect some dreams that people have had. Some of you have children that have backslid. And that are maybe cold and lukewarm. Maybe there's some that you had a dream of ministry and something catastrophic happened in your life. And now maybe you're just recovering. Maybe you're a widow or a widower, and maybe you've lost your loved one. And you feel like everything is just not like it needs to be. There's some of you in here, you're in a transition in ministry. And you don't know what you're doing. You don't know where you're going. And the enemy has brought confusion. And the enemy has tried to blind you and try to cover up some things. And the reason is because he don't want you to see your vision clearly. He don't want your dream to come to pass. But I'm telling you what I feel. I studied all week last week before we came to Alaska, and I thought I had heard from God, and this morning I had to scrap it. But that's what we want. We want what God wants. We want what the Holy Ghost wants. Hallelujah, sister. Amen. There is a dream in you. There is a dream living inside of you. But because of the trauma and because of the things that you've been through, the enemy would have you down. But I'm here to tell you, there is a church family. There is a family of God, amen, that is going to see your dream come to pass. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind the enemy of trauma. I bind the enemy of our soul. I believe right now that by the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, that there would be a deliverance, that there would be a touch of the Spirit. That's it. Lift your hands and you tell the devil, look here, I am going to see my dream come to pass. I am going to see the will of God come to pass. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we bind the enemy of her dream. Hallelujah. I believe right now that you will survive the hidden. Right now you're seeing the hidden part. Right now you're seeing the part that God did not give you. And I'm telling you, you're going to be able to see clearly now. You're going to be able to see clearly now. God's going to give you a strength. God is going to raise you up like never before. Come on, let's worship Him. Let's worship Him. Let's worship Him. In the name of the Lord God Almighty. Come on. There's a resurrection happening. There's a resurrection happening right now in the authority of Jesus Christ. Come on, let's keep praising Him. Let's keep praising Him. I'm supposed to be done right here. Come on, keep the prayer going. Keep the prayer going. Come on, there's some dark clouds that's about to rise. There's some dark clouds that's about to lift right now.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My Lord and my God, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God, I believe that there's healing. I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. God, you're able to move. You're able to minister. My God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask right now, God, Lord, you resurrect some things. You resurrect a desire. You resurrect some things. Oh, God, I don't understand. And I'm telling you, God, every tear that you've ever shed, God knows what it means, because tears are a language that only God understands. Hallelujah! 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 Come on, there's a price of being a dreamer, and that's what you've been paying. You've been paying the price. Brother and Sister Engels, if I pronounce that directly. I need you and your family to come right here. Is it okay? Yeah, yeah. That's good. Come on. Come on, church. We're going to be done here in a minute. We can go get a hamburger and get us whatever we're going to get. Amen. But God gave, I'm on an assignment right now from the Holy Ghost. I'm on assignment right now, and if I leave without obeying everything that God has given me, I'm going to be a failure. Amen. But I believe that there are visions and there are dreams that are about to be resurrected in the name of the Lord Jesus. I believe God's calling y'all somewhere. I'm not your pastor, and you make sure you go through your pastor, your bishops, and whoever you got to go through. But I believe that God has laid something on your heart. I'm not a prophet. I believe that God has laid something specific on your heart. And in your mind, you're thinking of my family. How am I going to do it? Well, how am I going to get paid? How am I going to do this? I believe that if you'll step out under the authority of your leadership when the time is right, that the Holy Ghost, sir, is going to use you. He is going to use your wife. He's going to use your child. How can God use a little child? I'll tell you how. Amen. I'm going to tell you, it's happening at our church. We're having children that small receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they're bringing their lost mothers, and they're bringing their lost fathers. I want these brethren to get behind him and get behind her. Come on, church. Extend your hands this way. Extend your hands this way. Hallelujah. God, you know where their heart is. God, you know where their desire is. And I'm asking you right now. I don't know, God, but you know. I just feel it, God. Come on. By the authority of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. All you've got to do is submit yourself and say, here I am, God. Use me. I don't know what the dream is, huh? But God, let them see clearly. Open their eyes that they might see. Open their eyes, God, that they might see. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. Oh, yes. Come on, the difficulties are still going to be there. But when you come out on the other side of your difficulties, you're going to see what I was talking about. Because God has a plan, and God has a way, and God will make a way where there seemeth to be no way. Come on, that's it. Let the Holy Ghost begin to speak through you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord. You say, well, God, I don't have any more tears to shed. Don't worry about it. Just keep on walking. Just keep on serving. Just keep on following after the Lord. Come on, shouting's good. Shouting's a great thing, and worship is a great thing. But it took more walking than it did shouting before the walls of Jericho came down. And I believe that God is about to destroy the enemy. God is about to destroy the hindrance. God is about to destroy everything that is in your way, everything that has become a stumbling block. Come on, church. Come on, if you need the Holy Ghost, come on up here. It's the greatest gift you'll ever receive. It'll change your life. It'll change your path. It'll give you dreams. It'll give you desires. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! God, in your mighty name, Lord Jesus, in your mighty name, Lord Jesus, I'm asking that you would touch this awesome couple right now. God, they don't think they can do anything because of their age. But God, you said that they would be able to bear fruit at an old age. And I'm asking you, God, to give them a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. Give them a fresh touch of the power of God. Hallelujah. Come on. If you can lift your hands, sister. Come on. Let the dreamer in.